Welcome to Adult Sunday School this morning. Before we get into the Word of the Lord, let's just pray and ask God to speak to our hearts, our minds this morning, so that whatever it goes forth from His Word, that we receive it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask that you bless this morning as we look into your Word. Give us understanding. So, Lord God, as we will not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, and that our faith will grow in you, and that what we hear today, we will put in practice in our lives, O Lord Jesus, and not just go through the motions or it's another lesson, but Lord God, we want you to speak to our hearts and our minds so that we take it from here today. Bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, our Bible lesson is coming from the book of Isaiah, and the title is God Hears Our Prayers. And there's a unique story in this that we're going to be looking at this morning. But before we even start there, you know, the Word of God says that we ought to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. And maybe everyone in this place this morning, all your prayers have been answered and everyone is good. If that's the case, raise your hands. We'll call right now and make an appointment or a reservation for breakfast. And we'll all go and not say anything to Pastor and come back. But I think in every one of our lives, there are things that we're praying for and things that we need. And maybe even for a period of time, you've been praying for this and you've been praying for a situation. You're asking God for it. So this morning, we're going to look at two kings. One is King Hezekiah. We're going to look at the prophet Isaiah. We're also going to look at King Sennacherib of Assyria and how he challenged the Lord and how King Hezekiah of Judah responded to that challenge and what the word of the Lord said. And I think we can, this will impact our lives. So in our reading this morning, Isaiah 37, it's a little lengthy reading as they usually are, but Isaiah chapter 37, verses 9 through 20. And it says, "And he heard say concerning Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trusteth deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given unto the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, as Haran, as Rezeb, and the children of Eden, which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath? Where is the king of Arphad? And the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, King of God of Israel, thou dwellest between the cherubims. Thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Thou therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only." So it gives a little bit of a setting of what is happening at that moment when Jerusalem is now coming under siege by King Sennacherib. Ricardo Sanchez is a Christian singer and songwriter. His 9-year-old son, Josiah, dived into the shallow end of a friend's pool. He dived headfirst, mimicking the sea lions he was fascinated with on vacation. Hitting his head on the bottom of the pool, Josiah had multiple fractures along his spine near the base of his neck. As Ricardo, his father, helplessly waited for a report on his son, the words to the new song that he had written, the title of the song said, "It's Not Over." It played over and over again in his mind, and he tried to believe that the words were from God. To the amazement of the doctors, the miracle of healing of Josiah's back was astounding. While his neck was broken, his spine was not damaged. His healing was remarkable. Two of Ricardo's friends had dreams of the accident. Both of them saw an angel rescuing Josiah. The angel assured them, "It's not over." The song Ricardo had written was released after Josiah's accident and miraculous recovery. And hearing that story, hearing that, how God answered that prayer, perhaps, God speaks to all of those who are facing incredible odds, whether it may be through a song, it may be through a dream, it may be through a message. We always have to be in tune with what God is ready to do, because you never know, at any point during any given day, God can answer our prayers. God makes his message of hope clear. In the midst of the trial, he assures us that it is not over. And we can take great comfort knowing that it's not over until God says it's over. Someone else had written a song, a gospel song years ago, that said it's not over. We may have sung it here. It's not over until God says it's over. And that's something that we need to always remember, regardless of what we're facing. As we see Ricardo, his son, can you imagine those of you who are parents and facing that situation and coming before the Lord saying, "God, I need you now." And in those particular instances, we're always a little bit more in tune with God than we are in our normal everyday lives. But when we're faced with desperation and we're needing God, we are ready for an answer at any time. So God, it's not over until God says it's over. We live in a world of threats, both real and imagined, and that these threats can cause a whole lot of trepidation. Threats may prove to be false. They may be a product of a hyped up media ready to exploit fears. We live in that day right now. Other threats, however, can be very real. And they are not just merely talk. They represent actual problems, peril that come upon individuals and upon nation. And in today's world, it can be difficult to distinguish between what is real and what is not. When the news cycle is constantly reporting of wars and rumors of wars, of political taunts and natural disasters, we live in that world today. And if we are not careful, we can fall prey to the fear that is happening around us, because there is real trouble that is existing in our world, and there's also perceived trouble. There's also trouble that is made up by man for his own purpose. And we may become immune to the potential catastrophes that are on the horizon, but people living in the Cold War era of the 1960s lived with real fear, and they came face to face with a threat that could have proven to be real. And during the Cold War, it was this constant threat of the United States versus Russia, and that the potential of nuclear war could erupt at any time, because there was just animosity and this tension that existed for many years between these two superpowers at the time. And the United States and the Soviet Union, they lived under a dark cloud of potential nuclear war, and each side they fought in the shadows. There was spying, there was a lot of intelligence and spying going back and forth, and the Cold War, and at times the Cold War would emerge from the shadows and it would seem like we're on the brink of war with Russia. And one of these times, it was in 1960, during a meeting of the United Nations General Assembly, and Nikita Khrushchev, he was the leader of the Soviet Union at the time, and he was not very happy. And he responded angrily when a delegate criticized the USSR for actively inhibiting the freedom of peoples around the world. Khrushchev was upset. And when he went to the podium, they said, the report says he took off his shoe. He banged the podium. Some people said he waved his shoe in the air and started on his tirade. He beat the podium and denounced the delegate, declaring him to be a lackey of the American government. And many in the audience, as well as those who later heard the report, feared that the Cold War, because here he was on American soil, and he was upset, angry, and many people at that time feared that now the United States and Russia would be on the brink of war. That's a very real threat. Both nations at the time had stockpiled enough nuclear weapons to annihilate each other from off the planet. But thankfully, once again, the Cold War had cooled off. And bringing it home to us, we may worry about the threats that we could face in our lives. And sometimes our imagination begins to run wild with us and we find it hard to sleep. And in the morning, we can blame it on a late night snack. Maybe you had pizza a little bit too late. Maybe you stacked up on the pepperoni and the sausages a little bit too much and went to bed too quickly. And in the middle of the night, you're rolling off the bed, falling on the floor, having a nightmare, and you're blaming it on, oh man, I shouldn't have eaten that pizza last night. Shouldn't have had that ice cream so late. But sometimes we have real fears. And during these times, we must seek God in prayer. We must trust in him. And Hezekiah, in the book of Isaiah, this is what he was facing. When threats have the potential to become very real in our lives, and when it's not just taunts from the enemy, but when at the next turn, at the next event, something can really happen in our lives, that's when it becomes real to us. That's when it's not just about empty talk anymore. But when we're facing danger, we must put our trust in God. And King Hezekiah faced this difficult situation, and he felt very afraid. I'm pretty sure that he did. The Assyrians were a mighty nation, and they had run roughshod through the nations of the world at that time and defeated them. They were unstoppable. They were unpowerful. And they had taken the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC. They took them into captivity. That's how powerful this nation was. And so King Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria, after taking the kingdom of the northern tribe of Israel into captivity and all these other nations around, powered his way through, and Assyria now established this incredible kingdom, and now they were coming after Judah. But he got to the point where he was so full of himself that he attacked God. He became so full of himself that he now, because he had defeated what was, people had said, what was the northern tribe of Israel, the northern 10 tribes who believed in God, but they were worshiping idols. And so with the defeat of that, now here he came after little Judah. King Hezekiah was a king of Judah. And this is where we pick up the story. The Assyrians had defeated all of these people. Some scholars have suggested that they wound up in present-day Afghanistan. But whatever the case, the 10 tribes of Israel were now lost, never to become a nation again. To this day, only the kingdom of Judah remained. Hezekiah was a good king. He ruled over a very small kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And there was no hope of them defeating the Assyrians on their own. Hezekiah's strong faith in God at this time faced the ultimate test. Should he continue trusting God? This was now a real threat that he faced to himself and to his nation. Look, The 10 tribes, my brothers, have been taken into captivity. Is that what's going to happen to us now, Lord? But he was very afraid at this time, and he saw the devastation that it could bring to his nation. The king of Assyria attempted to deceive the people. And through his emissary, the king of Assyria did not simply taunt Hezekiah. As I mentioned before, he felt so emboldened that he went after God Almighty himself. The messenger that was sent was brazenly mocked Hezekiah for trusting in God. He even proclaimed that the Lord had told him to come to Judah and to destroy it. Even worse than putting words in the Lord's mouth, the Assyrians tried to claim the one true God was a liar. Isn't that what the devil tried to do from the very beginning? He put words into God's mouth when he went into the Garden of Eden to deceive Adam and Eve. And when in our lives we see the enemy coming, and when he begins to cause us to question whether, is that what God said? Is that true? Take note, the enemy starts with deception first. And we have in our world today, there's a lot of deception that is out there. In our nation today, there's deception everywhere. It's on the left, it's on the right, it's on the middle, it's in every nation, there's deception. And this is where we as the people of God in this day that we live have to understand that our trust must be in God now more than ever before. Because it's not easy to just believe what is happening in our world today. But we have to put our trust in the Lord. So the king of Assyria was putting words in God's mouth. God's not going to save you. He's not going to help you. I know you heard a great message at church on Sunday, heard a great Bible study on Wednesday night, but believe me, that's not going to help you. You're too far gone for this. You've been praying for this for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Forget it. You might as well just give up now. You really believe that God is going to come and help you? Look back over your lives, the mistakes that you've made. You know, the sin that you committed last week or yesterday. You really think that God is going to forgive you for that? That's why your prayer is not being answered, because you just can't get it right. So this is the kind of thing that the enemy throws at us. He comes at us and he throws these things, but because mercy was never extended to him, and he knows that mercy and grace is extended to us. And so he tries to get us in the position where he's at, because there's no hope for him. So when the enemy comes against us, he tries to take away our hope. But this is what was happening in Judah at the time. God had granted reprieve to Judah because the northern kingdom of Israel fell prey to the Assyrians. But Hezekiah may have worried that they could not survive a second invasion of the Assyrians. He also feared for his people because they were hearing the taunts of the enemy. It wasn't just him alone hearing it, but they were actually speaking to the people, and the people were hearing it, and they were becoming afraid. And as king, he wanted to keep his people safe, and he faced a great challenge. Should he trust in the Lord? Should he seek help from Egypt? The Assyrians had told him Egypt would be no help, but should not a king act to save his people? Hezekiah was very perplexed. He knew the power of God to deliver. He had heard the miraculous stories, but of God, how God answers prayers, how God will deliver, how God will transform. We hear it. We know the stories. We hear the preaching. We hear it in our brothers and sisters' lives, how God is able to deliver. But when it comes to us and we're facing a desperate situation, are we ready to believe it for our own lives, that God is able to deliver? So he heard the stories. He also knew the reputation of the Assyrians, a reputation that was well-earned. It wasn't fake. It was real. The Assyrians had plowed through nations and taken them captive. Hezekiah heard the discouraging news and the enemy's taunts. And for Hezekiah, this comfortable life that he was living as king was now came up against a wall. And no longer was it just having every day the norm of every day, but he was now facing a great threat. His heart that trusted in God likely was in fear. And so what did he do? He tore off his kingly garments, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went to the temple of the Lord to seek the face of the Lord. And it goes without saying that when we're facing desperate situations, the first thing we ought to do, even before we pick up the phone and call anybody else, the first thing that we should do is go before the Lord. First thing that we should do is submit to him, submit our needs to him. In times of discouragement and fear, we may find it difficult to pray because we have a real need that we're facing. And we may feel frozen in space and unable to act at such a critical point in our lives. But during these situations, we've got to summon the faith and the courage to seek God's direction for our lives. We've got to press past the fear and the logic. Hezekiah was facing logic. Logic said, these guys are bad. These guys have torn nations apart. Logic said that they're coming after me next. My nation is small. I don't have the firepower to defeat them. That's what logic is saying. Logic is saying your situation can't be helped. But that's where God steps in. The Assyrians had the ability to back up their talent. Listen, the enemy, the devil, has the ability to back up his taunts. If we listen to him, if we succumb to him, he has the ability to do it. But when we trust in the one true living God, there's no way that he will win. We often face enemies that are more real than ever. When the doctor will proclaim that you have cancer or something, or one of your children is hurt or going through something that you yourself cannot help, that's when the challenge, that's when the need becomes great in your life. When a government threatens to take legal action, that's when the need is great. When we feel weak and unequipped to respond, during these times, we've got to pray. Hezekiah went into the temple in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 3. He recognizes, he said that this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. This is a dire situation that he was facing. There probably is no greater dire situation that you can face when a woman is about to give birth, but there's no strength to bring forth the child. I don't know if there's much greater situation or greater trepidation that one can face. And this is what Hezekiah likened it to. He's basically said, God, we don't have the strength to do this. I can't do this. We need you. And that's what he was praying. So he knew that his nation was facing trouble. And even though he tried to have faith, he probably kept thinking about the rebuke. He kept thinking about the rebuke and the blasphemy of the enemy. Hezekiah hoped the enemy had gone too far. Here's the thing. We hear the enemy and what he's saying. But you listen closely, you can find something, you will find that he's lying to you. When we hear the taunts of the enemy and the enemy comes against us, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in, this is what we need to do. In something that he's saying, he's lying because he cannot tell the truth. The Bible says he's a father of lies. So when he comes against us in our lives, know that there's something in there that he's lying to us about. And that's when we can go before the Lord. That's when we can open the word of God. And this is what King Hezekiah did. And this is what Hezekiah did. Very wise man. He went before the Lord. And he realized that the Assyrians were taunting not only him, but God. And this is what he says. He says, I believe it's in verse 4, 37 verse 4. He says, it may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, had sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Hezekiah not only wanted God to hear his prayer that he was praying for deliverance, but Hezekiah wanted to tell God, God, see what they're saying about you? See what they're coming against you and saying? They're saying that there's no hope for us. But we know we serve the one true living God. When the enemy comes in, when the doctor gives a bad report, when the enemy comes in, Lord, you saw that. You heard what that doctor said. I'm not going to believe that. You see my financial situation. I'm not going to believe that. I'm bringing that before you. And this is what Hezekiah did. So in difficult situations, it's important for us to seek the counsel of the man of God. And this is what Hezekiah did. He brought now his need before Isaiah the prophet. And Hezekiah knew he needed a word from the Lord. How many of you get to a situation and you walk into the house of the Lord and you're like, Pastor, I hope I get something today because I need it. Walk into the house of the Lord and your ears are so fine-tuned because you're going through trouble and you're listening for every, I've been there. Know what it's like. Come into the house of the Lord, you just want someone to say, you give you a good word. Give you a word of encouragement to tell you that you're going to make it, that everything is going to be all right. Hezekiah went to Isaiah, the man of God. He went to the prophet. He sent messengers to the prophet Isaiah in the hope that God would act. And Isaiah was the right man to call upon. He served in the court of the kings of Judah, offering prophecies and advice. And now more than ever, his godly wisdom was needed. And Isaiah, in verses 6 through 7, Isaiah chapter 37, Isaiah responded this way. He said, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Hezekiah received his word from the Lord. Powerful word from the Lord. This is what you want to hear. Victory is about to happen. It's about to take place. So the messengers brought some relief from Isaiah to Hezekiah, but the situation was not completely over yet. The enemy still had some more taunts and threats to make. And this is how the enemy works. This is how he works. Hezekiah just received a great word. You just walk out of church on a Sunday afternoon, ready to go. Powerful. I'm ready to take on any enemy. God is on my side. I'm ready to go. But the enemy is also listening. And this is what he came back to them, to Hezekiah, and he said. In verses 12 through 13, he said, have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezin and the children of Eden, which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hanah and Iva? The Assyrians revealed the powerlessness of the other gods that could not stop them. In the ancient battles when kings won and they would take not only spoil of the city, but they would take the gods and the idols that those people worshiped, and they would take them and they would parade them in front of their people to show them, hey, our God is powerful. Look at the gods. Look at the idols that we have defeated. We've taken them all. And so it would create, give, embolden their people and make them believe that they're invincible. And this is what Sennacherib was now saying to Hezekiah. He was saying, don't listen to the messengers of God. Don't believe that your God is going to deliver you. Let me go through the list of what we have done and how those gods didn't help them. And so this is the trouble that he now faced after hearing a great word. But Hezekiah would not give up. The king once again made his way to the temple, went back to God. Even though God has given us a powerful word, and we walked out, and during a week, the enemy came at us again. When it comes time to get back to the house of the Lord, come back to the house of the Lord. Come back and say, God, you gave me that victory last week, and I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to let what the enemy told me try to discount your word that you gave to me. I'm not going to allow the enemy to discount that. I'm coming back before you. I'm coming boldly into the throne room of God, and I'm coming before you, bringing this need and this situation before you once again. So Hezekiah made his way back to the temple to talk to God. Instead of allowing himself to doubt God, Hezekiah went to the temple a second time. We must have faith and courage to accept the word of the Lord and continuously give ourselves in prayer in the midst of trials. And this is what Hezekiah did, because in this day, a letter would come with the taunts. And what Hezekiah did, he took the letter and he laid it out in a temple before God. And he said, God, he basically was laying it out and says, God, you see this. You see what they're saying. There's nothing wrong with you getting a bad report for whatever it might be and taking it before the Lord and opening it up before him in your prayer closet and say, God, look at this. This is what they're telling me. I need you in this situation. Hezekiah pleaded with God to bend down his ear, to hear, to see the situation, and to hear all the words that that King Sennacherib had said. He knew the power of the Assyrians. And unfortunately, as I mentioned before, the northern kingdom of Israel turned away from God. That's why Sennacherib was able to defeat the northern kingdom, because they had turned away from God and began to worship idols. Judah was not at that place. They were still trusting in God. So as long as you're still trusting in God and walking in obedience to him, he is on your side. But the day that we walk away and just start wanting to do our own thing, then he pulls back. But we've got to continue worshiping and serving the one true living God. If Israel had remained steadfast, they probably would still be a nation today. If the northern tribes, they would probably still would be a greater nation of Israel today. God answered Hezekiah's prayer by speaking to the prophet Isaiah. This time, the king didn't even have to send messengers to Isaiah. While he was praying, God sent a message to him from Isaiah the prophet, reconfirming the fact that the Lord would deliver Judah. The story of Hezekiah is powerful because it lets us know God hears our prayers. We can become caught up in what the enemy is saying, and the words can linger in our ears and threaten our faith. But thankfully, we can pray to God for deliverance. We can also be thankful because we have men and women of God who will speak to us prophetically in our time of trouble. We should always be ready to give a blessing to someone. You never know what someone is going through. You never know what someone that walks into this place this morning, a bright look on their face, a smile on their face. Seems like everything is going on, but you never know what is happening there. You never know the situation that they're facing. You've heard the saying that says, fake it until you make it. Well, I came up with my own. I didn't hear this anywhere. If you heard it somewhere else, then the Lord just dropped it in my heart some time ago. But instead of fake it until you make it, I just believe that we should faith it and we will make it. I believe that with all my heart. I don't want to walk in. Sometimes we walk into the house of the Lord and we put a smile on our face because we don't want to come dragging in when the saints come dragging in. But we want to give God praise. But what we're doing is we're showing faith. Everything's not going good right now, Lord, but I'm going to worship you anyway. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lift it up to you because you're deserving of the praise. So when the Lord called on the prophet Isaiah to speak to King Hezekiah, the prophet also had a word for the prophet also had a word for the king of Assyria. And this is what the Lord said through Isaiah to the king of Assyria. In verses 26 through 27 in Isaiah 37, he says, "Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? And of ancient times that I have formed it, now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste, defense cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops and as the corn blasted before it be grown up." God spoke to the king of Assyria and said, those nations that you defeated, they weren't looking to me. They didn't have the one true powerful God. Have you not been paying attention, Sennacherib, that I'm the one true living God? God who had won many battles, and now he entered the battle on the behalf of the king of Judah. The king of Assyria and 185,000 Assyrians were killed. God sent an angel to intervene, and the boastful and mighty Assyrians found themselves defeated. Isaiah 37:36 says, "Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. What the Assyrians planned to do to the people of Israel, God turned it around and did it to them. And the Lord had said, the Assyrians went back the way they came. And this mighty superpower, who were the Assyrians, who were marching through the region at that time and creating this great power, the situation became so fatal that the army of Assyrians were not only defeated, but the Sennacherib himself was killed by his two sons. Meanwhile, Hezekiah dwelt safely in his palace, having learned a lesson about the power of prayer, trusting in God, and being willing to hear the word of the Lord from the prophet of God. Whatever the enemy taunts you with, turn it around and say, God, I turn it back on them. And we have the authority to pray that prayer. Whenever there's defeat staring us in the face, we have the authority to lay it aside and say, to come before God and say, God, I'm not going to submit to this. I'm not going to believe this. I'm going to believe that whatever the enemy has formed against me, it will not prosper. And in fact, that you will turn around and show yourself strong. And this is what happened. God turned it around, showed himself strong. Power. God will speak to the enemy. He will speak to the enemy. He will speak to the enemy of your life. Show himself so strong. And what was amended, what was meant to defeat you, the Lord will turn it around against your enemy that is speaking against us. Sometimes our problems overwhelm us so much that we can enter into a state of denial. But Hezekiah did not fall prey to denial, and neither should we. When we hear the enemy coming against us and we receive a letter that expresses that there's real problems that we're facing, we should read it before the Lord. Trust God. Go before the Lord. And we mentioned before how Hezekiah came before the man of God in Isaiah, and he brought his need. And I don't know how much we practice that. I could speak for myself, but when you're going through a situation, find someone to link up with in prayer. Find someone to pray with you. One could put 1,000 to flight, but two does what? Puts 10,000 to flight. So when you link up with someone, guess what's going to happen? The enemy stands no chance. He stands no chance. When two or three agree together, it shall be done. Pray with each. God hears our prayers. Not only does he hear our prayer, but he answers our prayers. And sometimes we're going to feel like we have a victory, but we all know that the darkest night is before the dawn. So sometimes we get these victories, and then all of a sudden, again, it comes up against us, and we're like, man, I thought I got that victory last week. I thought that word from the pastor was for me last week. But God is still true. He's still ready to deliver, and that's where we come back. Well, I don't know why God set it up this way. No clue. I don't know why the first time we pray about something, he doesn't just answer it and it's done. But I think he just probably delights in us coming before him and seeking his face ever so much more fervently. Seeking him because he is God. And I think he wants us to realize that, hey, I am God and I want to meet your need. I haven't left you. I'm not going to forsake you. Our honesty does not mean that we lack faith when we bring our needs to the Lord. There's some people that believe that, oh, I'm not going to say anything. You know, if there's a sickness or there's a problem, I'm not going to repeat that. That's just negativity. I'm just going to trust. No, no, no. You can bring it before the Lord. Name it. Bring it before the Lord. Speak it. Say, God, I've got facing this situation. Don't believe that, oh, I'm just not going to say anything about it. God knows, and he's going to hear me. But guess what? God delights when we bring things before him, and we bring it before him, and we say, God, you're God. This is nothing for you. And we keep doing that until, so it's not showing a lack of faith when we speak our needs before the Lord. The story of Hezekiah is also very instructive because it likely breathed a sigh of relief after receiving the first word from Isaiah. He felt like he could finally relax. Everything was in God's hands. God had taken care of it all. Then again, the Assyrians sent the letter, and it got darker. It got more. The pressure became even more. But then the enemy tries to throw one last. The enemy tries to throw this one last monkey wrench into every situation. He tries to tell us that you're defeated, you're not going to make it, and forget about it. Turn around and walk out. You can skip church next week. Forget about it. Your need hasn't been met, and you haven't received what you want to receive from the Lord. But we have to keep trusting in Him. I know in my life that there are times when I've gone through struggles, and I've just felt like, well, I'm not going to pray about that. I've been praying about this for a long time, and I've just wanted to give up. And I'll be honest, transparent, I just wanted to give up. But I thank the Lord that there was always somebody. There was always somebody. There's always a brother or a sister who wouldn't know necessarily what I was going through. Or even if they did know what I was going through, I would face someone who would give me a word of encouragement and give me that extra nudge to keep going forward, even though I was ready myself to give up. The enemy tries to throw it at us, and we should realize that the enemy is simply acting out of desperation. We must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. There will be times when a situation will require us to take two or more trips to the altar, but make those trips to the altar. There will be times when we need a second word from the Lord. Open your ears and get that second and third and fourth and fifth word from the Lord. Keep trusting in Him. We can rest in the confidence that God's word remained the same to Hezekiah in both cases. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He said last week to you, what He said last year to you, the promises that He gave you last year and last week remains the same. He doesn't change. At some point in time, the enemy is going to have to do a 180 and back up out of your life. And it will happen. In contrast, the enemy faced even greater judgment. And we can always look and say, devil, I read the book. I know your end. I know my end. And it's victorious. But I read about your end. I know what's going to happen to you. So because of that, I'm not going to be afraid of what you're taunting me with. I'm not going to be afraid of what the lies that you're telling me. But I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with the authority that He's given to you and given to us to defeat the enemy that comes against our soul. Hey, we have the greatest hope in the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So whatever you're facing today and whatever comes against you, if you're not facing anything right now, let this be a reminder. And if you are facing something right now, walk forward into your week. Walk forward from here today and say, God, I've got another word from you. I'm going to ride on this. I'm going to keep riding. I don't care what the enemy wants to bring against me this week, but I'm going to ride on this, and I'm going to trust you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanksgiving this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.